My name's Jay Chevalier, and I'm from the Bayou capital of the world, the great state of Louisiana. In October of 1959, Billy Cannon made LSU history by running 89-yard touchdown against Ole Miss. I was in the stands that night, and I wrote this song. Down in the South where they see you walk, there's a man known as Mr. Football Billy Cannon. Billy Cannon. Look out, there goes a Billy Cannon. You can go to the East, you can go to the West, but everywhere you go, they say he's the best Billy Cannon. Billy Cannon. Look out, there goes a Billy Cannon.
In partnership with NFLLSU.com, it's the Ghost Show, your original LSU podcast, coming to you on a Thursday night. November 18th, 2010. Ways to get in touch with us, go to the website. It's andthevalleyshook.com. You can email the show, ghostshow@gmail.com. And for those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, you already know how that's spelled. It's gauxshow@gmail.com. You want to listen to the show, various ways to do that. You can go to the website, Andrew Valley Shook. On the left-hand side is that little yellow box that says Podtrack Player. You can click on that, and it will pull up the latest show that has been downloaded and also a show archive of all the shows that we've recorded in the past. You can download us from iTunes to your iPod for free. So many ways to do that. I am your host, Kerry Muntz, kicking in with you in Studio Carly, which is my daughter's room. Tonight, with me, 25 miles to my west, Mr. Patrick Morris of Ponchatoula. Hey, Pat.
Loving it. Loving life. Doing good.
How's the house thing going?
Well, that's funny you should say that. Today was supposed to be the night we were going to close and move, but
Right. Since
we had a glitch in paperwork, which is retarded, we had to push the closing back, which I don't mind because we're not moving during Thanksgiving week now.
Gotcha. Well, that's good. That's good. This is all just stronger forces that want us to watch the Arkansas game in your current abode. So, this is just Podcast doing. He's the one that started. I started the rumors about Cam Newton 2 weeks ago, and he's gotten in contact with the bank and screwing things up because he doesn't want to mess with the juju of watching the away games at your house. I blame it all on Podcast. So, anyway.
Even if I have nothing in here, we'll leave the TV and watch it.
There we go. We can sit on the floor.
Exactly.
Put an air mattress up, put some tailgating chairs up, we'll be good to go. So anyway, yeah, there's Podcast behind the scenes, pushing buttons and things like that. We call him the Pierrefort Pimp, the Cajun Billy Dee Williams, always willing to lend us a helping hand. And I guess to get things started off, a little bit of news and notes. I don't really think there's really much to discuss. We all know about the current state of tailgating that's going to take place at LSU in 2011. Not something I really, really want to get into too much tonight. We might have a few drinks and talk about it on our Saturday show. So, no doubt that's definitely a possibility. So, let's kick things right off. LSU coming off a de facto bye week, I guess you call it. Defeated Louisiana Monroe. Northeast Louisiana, if you want to go that route and call them that, 51-0 in a pretty, I don't know what you'd call it that, I guess a lackluster performance offensive speaking, lackluster. I mean, I didn't even look at the stats of the game.
We turned it on when we wanted to. We turned it on for about, 10 minutes there, and then that was about it.
It's about what you'd expect for a game like that. It's defense made plays, scored two defensive touchdowns, put the offense in plenty of other positions to score points, and we mustered up, I think, three field goals. It was another tale of just not sustaining drives on offense, and it's really something you don't want to see them revert back to. You hope it's just kind of vanilla offense and kind of going through the motions against a Louisiana Monroe team that's definitely overmatched. So that You'd like to see him, build. You'd like to see a team that went for 300 yards in the second half against Alabama. You'd like to just see him come out and just absolutely pummel ULM and open up holes the size of Mississippi River. But you just didn't see it, and that's that's really what we've come to learn to expect from Les Miles' coach team. You're really not going to see that against these type of teams. And
but all that being 51 points.
We're finishing each other's sentences, man. It's like we've got that cachet about us. So it's so good. So, all that being said, like I said, we scored 51 points. So nothing really to complain about. It was a pretty easygoing weekend for myself. I worked the whole weekend, so I did not attend a game. I think this is the first time in a very long time I've actually missed two home games in the same year. So unprecedented. I guess Cal and Scrabs' baby boy is growing up and realizing that he has other priorities in life. And so,
yeah, and since Carrie was working, I decided not to go either because I felt bad, so I said I'll go to work.
Felt bad, yeah. So you think any rumors are circulating out there about me and you? Because not only did we both missed the same games this year, so I really hope that the rumor mill isn't going around about you and I in any kind of extracurriculars or something. I really hope that's not the case. Maybe I just opened up a can of worms. I don't know.
I don't have this picture of you in a dress, so I can't go with that one.
It's not a pretty sight.
Although
so.
Podcat in a dress with a shaved beard.
Which is going to happen, by the way.
Yes.
We've talked about it numerous times. I still have yet to go back and listen to that show and see if it's actually on tape that I said I would shave my head as well. But there's definitely on tape that Podcat said he was shaving his beard. So all that for people that don't know is because it was a bet between Podcat and Marvin. Marvin making the outlandish statement that South Carolina would win the SEC East. Who knew? 5-3 would do it. And I guess Marvin was. It's good. It's good for him to be right once in every 15 years. So we're looking forward to that. We got to set a date for when Pocket's gonna get that beard shaved because we're gonna do that. We're gonna do a live remote. We're gonna definitely. We'll have the webcam up and everything and do a live remote of the Go Show on that one. We're definitely going to get that one on video. And that's definitely going to be posted to the site because that's something that everybody needs to see. Not really looking at podcasts so much, but just watching him get his beard shaved, which would be really funny.
Yeah, we're going to use an extra rough lubricant on that beard.
And what he doesn't know is we're going to get him drunk and we're going to take him to a tattoo ball and get him a tattoo as well.
I think we should leave him some chops.
Like some Elvis chops, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, Elvis chops
would be sweet.
Nice.
That would be so awesome.
So, anyway, for those of you that want to see that.
Moving right along right here. We have a really good show, actually, lined up for everybody tonight. As we move away from ULM, because I think we've pretty much opened the door immediately on that thing. We have a really good show for you tonight. We're going to be previewing Ole Miss. And with us tonight from Red Cup Rebellion, it's a blog, obviously, but also it's also part of SB Nation, so it's a neighboring blog, the Ole Miss blog, Red Cup Rebellion, and we have a guy with us tonight, Bob, from Red Cup Rebellion. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I'm very glad to be a part of the podcast. I'm holding a glass of whiskey here in my right hand, which is also making me very excited. So I'm happy to have whiskey in my right hand and happy to have the show here keep me entertained on a Thursday night.
Would the Reverend Nutt approve of whiskey?
Pardon?
Would the Reverend Nutt approve of whiskey?
I would hope he's a Southern Reverend, perhaps not. I would hope that maybe he's Maybe the term is more appropriate, the Catholic priest or something. He would be more approving of the whiskey drinking.
The Catholic priest would take it out and pour your drink for you. He's got his stash behind the bar in the rectory, trust me.
There's an old joke in Mississippi. How do you tell the difference between a Catholic and a Baptist? And it's the Catholic. Your Catholic friends will say hi to you when you're in the liquor store. That's the difference.
Very
ain't
nice.
That true, though?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm gonna have some whiskey on Saturday as well. It's gonna be a nice chilly day on Saturday. 2:30 kickoff on CBS once again. Man, the torture of Vernon Gary just continues on for us this season. And
hopefully,
we don't have to listen to him this week, but thankfully, so we can listen to the just the banter of the crowd inside the stadium on Saturday afternoon. So, moving right along. So, Bob, so give us a little bit of a pulse. I mean, Ole Miss, a disappointing year to this point, 4-6, going into the last two games of the year, having, us this week and Mississippi State to close out the season. Is this kind of what – was Ole Miss really expecting this season? Was it – I mean, I know the old – there was sort of a glimmer of hope with the whole Jeremiah Masoli thing going on before the season started. I would have to think was this supposed to be like a really true rebuilding year for y'all?
Well, it was supposed to be a rebuilding year, certainly. But I think the results, even considering that expectation, have been underwhelming. You look at the beginning of the year, essentially everyone was saying, and I say everyone, Ole Miss fans were saying this, but even, ESPN was saying this. I mean, mainstream media folks are saying, Ole Miss will have a good defense this year. We just won't be able to move the ball on offense. And for most of the season, the exact opposite has been the case. Jeremiah Masoli, except for one or two games, has been very good for us. I mean, he moves the ball well. He's certainly a great scrambler, great runner, very tough quarterback, has a very strong arm for a guy his size. The defense has been a huge disappointment. The defensive line has underachieved. The secondary, we got a lot of freshmen and junior college transfer types out there, and they're just not getting the job done. So that's really been the real disappointment has been the defense. The defense is not – it's easily the worst defense in the Southeastern Conference, and that is not at all what we were expecting.
Yeah, without question. I mean, I'm sitting there, and it surprised me because before we all got online, I was looking at y'all stats, and y'all offensive stats are actually very good. I mean, I thought LSU was second in rushing to Auburn, but I think y'all are. I mean, y'all rushed for nearly 2,200 yards. But I gotta assume that's second to Auburn. Brandon Bolden's been pretty good for y'all this year. He's got 840 yards, 11 touchdowns. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember him last year. Is he a freshman, or is he a young guy, or is he a guy?
Well, he's actually a junior.
Around last year? Okay.
He saw some action his freshman year. He had a touchdown in the Cotton Bowl, had a couple of scores his freshman year. But his freshman year, he was more of a spellback. And then last year, we relied on Dex McCluster to get the rushing yards for us. And he certainly did that. I mean, he was a true all-purpose back, if there ever has been one, was Dexter McCluster. Guy could catch the ball well, and he had just awesome feet, truly, truly wonderful feet and everything. I mean, just an awesome back. So Brandon Bolden saw limited action last year because of McCluster, and he's been kind of thrust into that starting role this year. And he's actually done a fine job. He's made some mistakes. He's got a couple of some dropped passes that have killed us on in a few games here and there. But he's been fine for us, certainly.
Good. Patrick, you got anything you want to ask? Yeah, I mean, just chime in whenever you want to.
I don't know. Now, we certainly know what McCluster did to us last year. Single-handedly, he beat us. I really don't know, because I haven't seen as much of your games, because usually your games are during the day. We're out there tailgating, like you said, things like that. So we don't catch too much of it. If we do, it's an in-and-out thing as we're running by a TV out there on the playgrounds. But I did catch a little bit of that Tennessee game, and man, it's almost like I don't know what happened to your team against Tennessee. Y'all were there, then all of a sudden it's like somebody popped the balloon and it was just over in a heartbeat.
Well, I think Tennessee figured out that they could move the ball through the air against us, and that's what they did. First of all, Jeremiah Masoli had a concussion that week.
Right.
He probably should not have been playing because he suffered a concussion against the Raging Cajuns of UL Lafayette the weekend before, and actually was taken out of that game and was questionable all week. And then the morning of the Tennessee game, the coaches say, yeah, we're going to play Masoli. He goes out there, and he's obviously still got some issues. He just wasn't throwing the ball right. He was kind of lost a little bit. I mean, as simple as it is to chalk Masoli's performance up to an injury, I'd say you could, especially because he threw three interceptions that game. So the offense wasn't moving. But also, Tennessee's offense figured out that our secondary is just – it frankly just isn't a good one. It's a lot of Rebel fans are saying it's the worst they've ever seen playing Ole Miss football. And that's – that says something. And so, you know, Tennessee sort of passed the ball kind of at will against us. I mean, there were plays when we were flushing Tyler Bray, you know, our freshman quarterback, out of the pocket, and he was still making these first down throws. I mean, Tennessee's receivers are wide open. There's nothing we could do. So really, Tennessee and Derek Dooley, give him the credit. They figured out that our secondary was weak, and they exposed it. That's exactly what they did.
Well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, Masoli, I don't understand. You know, I guess the thing that would kill me if I was an Ole Miss fan is, you know, you got a quarterback that's hurt. You don't practice him all week, so you don't have a rhythm with your offense, and all of a sudden you get to a game time to say, I mean, what kind of mock there, what kind of things were being talked about the decision to play him all of a sudden amongst the fan base? Because, I mean, that everybody knows it's got to be rough. You can't just throw somebody into a game, especially if you're the quarterback and you're running a game plan for a certain team, and all of a sudden you come in and, okay, well, he's going to be our guy. It's kind of like almost the very first game of the season for y'all when, you know, we're back and forth between this quarterback, that quarterback, weren't sure if Masoli was going to play the whole works, and that struggled in that game.
Same situation, you know, and the reaction from the fans is very similar, too. You're sort of like, you know, why are you putting this guy out there? He's obviously not ready for this right now. That's the first game of the season. A lot of people were saying, you know, obviously he's not ready for this right now. And then this game, it's obviously, like, obviously he's still hurt. I don't know why you have him out there. And you know, okay, fine. He's a great athlete. Fine, coach, put him there for a couple drives. But after the second drive, it became apparent that Masoli wasn't going to get it done. Coach left him in there for the next five or six drives after that. And everybody, I'm at the bar with, you know, up here in Washington with some other Ole Miss friends of mine, and we're watching the game. It's like, why is Masoli still in the game? It's obvious that he doesn't know what he's doing out there. It's obvious that the concussion is still getting to him. You know, he was shying away from contact. He wasn't running the ball like he normally does. He wasn't making good throws. And it was just, you know, obviously – he had missed practice for a week. It was taking a real toll on him, and we were watching it like, you know, why is he in there? So, yeah, the fans, I haven't yet found an Ole Miss fan that was okay with the decision to play Masoli last weekend.
Yeah, it's not too unfamiliar from what it's like for us a lot of times questioning our not coach and some of the decisions he's made. But it's hard to question 9-1 at this point, but we still find ways to do it out here in Baton Rouge. But let's get into like a little bit some of the X's and O's of the games. So that being said, about your offense, who, you know, has been decent this year. What's the plan of attack for Ole Miss going up against LSU's defense? Because we all know the strength of LSU is the defense. We talked about it together last night a little bit. And what do you think the best way it is to attack the offense, and what do you think Ole Miss is going to try to do on Saturday?
And, you know, that's a tough question to answer, because you look at every level of the defense. You got Drake Nevis up front. You got Kelvin Shepard right behind him. You got Patrick Peterson shutting down half of the field. When you look at LSU play defense, and I watch a lot of SEC football. I mean, yeah. I really do. And this is a good LSU defense. I mean, nobody's going to beat around the bush, though. It's just some really great talent on that defense. I think you're going to have to do a lot of moving outside of the pocket, keeping Shepard and Nevis at bay. We have a quarterback that can do it. If Masoli's ready and if he's willing to scramble and move, then we can do that. You know, I think Ole Miss will have to win this using speed. We got a lot of freshmen that are really fast. Guys like Jeff Scott. Jeff Scott scored the first touchdown of the game for us against Auburn. He had an 80-yard touchdown run. Guy's absolutely fast. He's just a freshman, though, very small, so they don't put him out there a lot. You know, Bolden will have to get out in space. The receivers will have to, you know, it's not going to be easy when you got a guy like Patrick Peterson out there. So it's gonna rely on a lot of speed, which the Rebels have. We have speed. We just got to get away from the aforementioned players as quickly as possible, because there's just a lot of, you know, Mingo, a lot of those guys, just talented guys. You don't want to have your players with the ball within a few yards of those guys. So it's going to be speed based, if I were to guess, the offensive attack.
Well, the offensive line that y'all have, what's basically the average weight of the offensive line? Are you going to be able to control Nevis in the up front? Are you going to have to do like the old Denver Broncos type running scheme where you're pulling a lot, you're getting outside in space with your tackles and your guards and things like that? I mean, do y'all have the, I guess, I'd call it the girth up front to push the people around?
the offensive line is sizable. It's not a small offensive line. It's not like, you know, when you watch Oregon football, they run those lean offensive linemen because they like to pull a lot out there. But the thing is, all three are of our interior linemen, both of our guards and our center, are freshmen. So they're young. That's why Drake Nevis will probably have a field day taking advantage of them. I mean, they're big. You got like guys like Patrick Junin and some of those guys up front. They're freshmen. They're big freshmen, but they're inexperienced. And they haven't – yeah, sure, Nick Fairley was something to deal with, but they haven't played against a Drake Nevis type or – well, I guess they played against Fairley, but they didn't do well against him. They can't pull very well either because they're freshmen. It's a lot of inexperience. The tackles are both juniors, Bradley Sowell and Bobby Massey. They're big body juniors, long arms. I mean, they've got some good blocking skill there. But this is an offensive line. This is a classic Houston Nutt offensive line. They're road graders. This is like the type of offensive line that Houston Nutt's always had. Just big guys push forward. Nothing dramatic. Nothing fancy. The issue with this line is while they might be large, they're inexperienced. And you have experienced defensive tackles that take advantage of them.
Yeah, and about your offensive scheme on Saturday, I really look for – you talk about Houston Nutt's classic type of offensive line thing. I also look for him to do a lot of, you know, what he's done in the past. And that's – I mean, that's kind of exposed in the middle of the field against LSU. He's done that. He did that with Arkansas in a lot of Wildcat formations. And I'm looking down your stat line here, and I see Bolden's second on the team in receptions. And that's something that kind of makes me nervous because – because one thing our defense is susceptible to is the running back over the middle, the check down to the running back and a linebacker being out of place and, you know, giving up a big play like that. It's something that's always been sort of a weakness for LSU. So, that I mean, I think that's one area where I think y'all might look to. I don't know how a lot of Bolden's receptions have come. I don't know if they come on swing passes or just check downs by Masoli or what have you. But I think that's one area. Yeah, I think it's one area where you might be able to expose LSU's defense a little bit.
We're going to have to take it where we can get it. And certainly Bolden, he's been a hit or miss. I think some games he's played very well as a receiving threat, other games not so much. If he's on, then, yeah, you can see a lot of checkdowns. You can see a lot of swings. You can also see all those little curl routes, like to run out of the backfield, or maybe those little circle routes, those type of things. But a lot of swing. It's a lot of swing passes, which is fine. We have a larger-bodied receiver as well. I don't know how much that means against LSU's secondary, but against a lot of secondaries, it works. So we'll see. Hopefully the coaches have tossed a new wrinkle in there. But, you know, that's anybody's guess.
Yeah, and switching gears to our offense, Patrick, what do you look for us to do, Patrick, against what, you know, as Bob's already stated about the Ole Miss's weak defense? I mean, you think we'd be able to like expose some of that? Do you expect to see the same type of inconsistency in offense that we've been seeing?
No, I think you've seen Jordan Jefferson gaining a little confidence finally. You know, it seemed like, I mean, and granted, I didn't see the game in person last week or anything. But just from listening to, you know, it being described and whatnot, as he actually seemed to, and Podcat can probably attest to this a little more, which we'll talk, you know. But, you know, it seemed like he took control a little more. It actually seemed like Jared Lee struggled a bit more last game. I think you're going to see a lot of quick slants. You're going to use the speed of the receivers, and that's how you're going to take advantage of the secondary. Yeah, they're going to go up top every now and then, but and then you're strictly going to pound the ball. I mean, hopefully we can wear them down and just let the talent take over. You know, we've had a chance to recover over the big win against Alabama. You know, we had our basic practice bye week, and we come back, you know, I call it a tune-up game. You don't want to overlook it because Ole Miss always plays us tough. But, you know, I think if you let the talent take, you got a good game plan in place, you run your short pass, take what the defense gives you, instead of trying to force it, I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah, and I think you're right on cue. I mean, the MO of this team against, you know, what we saw against Mississippi State, we saw against Vandy, was that wear them down, 3 yards, cloud of dust. Just, I mean, like I was saying at the beginning of the year, I mean, we're a freaking Big Ten offense playing in the SEC. At some points we looked at our team during the season, it was just, you know, but it was working. I mean, we were wearing defenses down, and it worked against Vandy, it worked against Mississippi State. Kind of changed that a little bit when we played Florida because we kind of had to, because turnovers forced us to, you know, we dominated that game in all phases except the turnover battle, and Maybe special teams too. He didn't really dominate there, but you know, it's something that, you know, you would think, I would like to think they've gained, you know, a lot of that confidence, because when you're hanging up 300 yards in one half against a team, against a defensive caliber Alabama's, that's got to give you some kind of confidence down somewhere along the lines, and thinking that, you know, they should be able to take advantage of opportunities that Ole Miss's defense presents to them. And I think it's just a matter of getting our athletes the ball and letting them make plays, and that's kind of what it's been all year. And we've seen when we've been able to do that, how good we've been. I.e., Reuben Randle over the middle for, you know, the 75-yard touchdown pass. So.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when we get in space, we are. And of course, that's just about any team. But I mean, we have. You got to match up with every receiver. I mean, because Tolliver proved it for a couple games. Now Randall's coming on strong. He's got a little confidence in him. You still got the backup, Russell Shepherd, who's your all-purpose player. I mean, we have the athletes. There is no doubt we have talent. And, you know, you see you made a comment about, you know, Big Ten offense and SEC, but problem is we still have SEC talent, you know.
Right.
So that's what's overcoming the Big Ten offense. Imagine if we played in a conference like the Big Ten and we did that with the speed and talent that we have, how we'd rule it.
Yeah, no question. And switching back to our boy from Red Cup Rebellion, I mean, it's gotta make you feel a little bit better about your defense, knowing that offense really hasn't been, you know, it really hasn't. I mean, it hasn't been, you know, all that consistent and just not very potent this year. I mean, so that's gotta, I imagine that's gotta sit well a little bit with you.
A little bit, sure, but I mean, I remember a couple of weeks ago we were saying the same thing about Tennessee. And then, you know, I mean, that Tennessee game, I mean, sure, absolute aberration. It's something you don't even want to talk about. But certainly LSU, when we looked at a couple of weeks ago, we were like, you know, for the remainder of the season, we got Tennessee, LSU, and Mississippi State, three teams which offensively aren't putting up the numbers that Auburn and Alabama and Arkansas are, the other teams that we've lost to. So we're thinking maybe we got a shot there because of that. And there are very few Rebels that have a ton of confidence right now because of that Tennessee game. You know, maybe the defense shows up, maybe the offense doesn't make as many mistakes as they did, but it's hard to have confidence considering how poor Tennessee has done offensively and how poor we were defending them.
Right, and just like what we talked about last night a little bit together was just that Houston Nutt has that thing over Les Miles right now. And that's the one thing y'all talked about at the top of y'all program about how, you know, the consensus among some LSU fans is that LSU fans are worried. And I think I even said last night, I said, I'm one of them, because it's something about Houston Nutt and Les Miles. He's owned it for the last 3 years. He's pushed all the right buttons and he's made the right calls. Now, has it motivated Miles to be more prepared for this game, especially considering what happened at the end of the game last year? It seemed to kind of help him, you know, guide him along. He's come out against every coach that's been beating him the last couple of seasons, and he's won. He's beat Urban Meyer this year. He's beat Nick Saban this year. Is he looking forward to going for the trifecta and defeating Houston Nutt? So that's I mean, I never thought in a million years he was going to out-coach Nick Saban 2 weeks ago. So, you know, nothing surprises me at this point with our grass-eating coach. So,
yeah. Nothing should surprise you with him, though. As we said last night, that's sort of Les Miles' thing. Is he constantly has the element of surprise on his side. Somehow he's got it always.
Well, it's not surprise. It's just the fact that he's just certifiably. I mean, he's certified. So I mean, he's a nut. He, you know, no pun intended to Houston nut. But we have the wackiest coach in the SEC, and you know what? That kind of gives us. In a way, what we've been talking about kind of this year is it takes the focus off the players and lets them play the game a little bit, and it puts the onus on the coach. Whereas, and in college, it's kind of what you want to do. Let the players concentrate on play and not having to worry about all this other stuff. You know, we don't have an Auburn situation where we got everybody's focused on Cam Newton and half the people don't even know who the head coach is, things like that. Our whole deal is everywhere you talk about – when they say LSU, the first thing that comes out of people's mouth, you know, nationally, Mad Hatter. Coach is a nut. Mad Hatter. You know, nobody talks about and focuses on, all right, well, their offense is going to kill us, or their defense, you know, we know the defense is good, we know this. But everything is off of the players and onto the coach with us, and I think it actually helps us.
I mean, it doesn't hurt it. I mean, our players have our coaches back 1,000%.
That's a fair argument. I think it's a fair argument. I've never really looked at it in that perspective. I think it takes an LSU fan to see that perspective, because it's hard for me to go from, you know, getting your shoes there. But I can see certainly what you mean by that, and that, you know, you're right. The players certainly don't have much pressure from the media. They're the guys that just go out there and they practice, you know, 5-6 days a week, and they do what they have to do. Also, though, you know, your players are very talented, so they've got that going for them as well. But I certainly see your argument.
Yeah, we'll trade quarterbacks with you, though.
Masoli would do well behind LSU's offensive line, certainly.
Stroud will destroy him.
Mm-hmm.
Give him 2 games. I have more confidence in Les Miles than I had in August. I still don't have that confidence in Gary Crowden. Patrick, don't you kind of see Miles starting to gain some of that swagger he had back in 07? He's starting to
Jacob Hester and all of those guys, you know, taking those chances on the down, throwing the ball up in the air at Auburn on a fourth down. It, like I told you, that is college football at its best. That's what you go to the games for. Whether you win or lose the games, the excitement, that's what you're looking for, the unexpected in college. The pros, you know what you're going to get most of the time. But in college, that is the X factor right there. And that's what LSU, win or lose, it gives you something to talk about all week, and it makes the games exciting. And that's what you want, especially that Alabama game. That was the most exciting game in Tiger Stadium in a long time.
Yeah. Case in point, let's divert away from LSU Ole Miss for a second. You watch Auburn and Georgia. Auburn's at home in Jordan-Hare. Georgia jumps out 21-7. Auburn, you know, comes back and has momentum going into the locker room. They're kicking off to start the second half. What do they do in their home stadium? Onside kick to start the second half. You know, Gene Chizik channeling is in a Sean Payton there and going for the onside kick in that situation in the game. And I thought they really had control of going into halftime. I didn't really think it was necessary. But he pretty much said, we get this onside kick, we're going to go down and score. And then it becomes a matter of, you know, who's going to stop who now? Because we're going to keep scoring them. We'll always be one step ahead of them, and that's what you're talking to. I mean, that speaks exactly to the point right there. You know, a team that's, you know, ranked number 2 in the nation, you know, kicking an onside kick against a team was unranked, you know, sub 500 record, tied at 21. I mean, that's just, you know, you don't see that in the NFL unless
you can't take it with you into next year. What's the point of having all these plays that you're practicing and all of this stuff if you don't want to try it and take, you know, in during the season or at some point during the season? What you going to do? You going to save it for next year? Well, next year is a totally different year. It doesn't do any good.
Without question. So, I think we spoke about everything, I guess, pretty well. We'll kind of switch back talk about Ole Miss's defense against LSU's offense real quick. Is it just a matter, Bob, of just kind of hoping Ole Miss, you know, sitting back and just maybe hoping that Jefferson and Lee remember that they're not exceptional quarterbacks and wait for them to make a mistake? Or do y'all think y'all going to be able to do some things on defense to kind of throw us off our game a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Certainly, you kind of want guys like Lee and Jefferson to make some mistakes if you're going from the Ole Miss perspective here. But at the same time, knowing our defensive coordinator, see, the problem with Tyrone Nix as a defensive coordinator is that his secondaries have always been weak. Ole Miss, in the last 3 years that we've had Nix has had good defenses. We've never had a good secondary. His defenses have been based entirely on blitzing. And typically he's a great blitzer. Like, for the last 2 seasons, we've been a great blitzing team. We get linebackers in the backfield really well, and we get guys after the quarterback, just this season it hasn't been working. It's almost like people have figured him out, and it's like it's been his kryptonite. Maybe, you know, in a bizarre twist of fate, if the blitzing starts working well this week, then, you could see Lee and Jefferson make a few mistakes, get hurried, maybe throw the ball before they want to, or maybe throw it in the wrong, you know, where they don't want to throw it, that type of thing. But, you know, from what I've seen so far, that's wishful thinking. Just from watching Tyrone Nix's defenses the past 2 years, it's all about blitzing. If the blitzes work, then we're working and our defense is firing, and it's a tough defense to go against. If they're not working, as they didn't last weekend, for example, then it's pointless.
Right, yeah, you're getting pressure on Lee and Jefferson definitely would bode well for y'all without question. So, Pat, you got anything else you want to add?
No, not to the Ole Miss. What would you prefer to be called this weekend, a Rebel or a Black Bear?
Well, you know, the team name is still Rebels. They haven't changed that. The only thing they've changed is they you know, 7 years ago they took Colonel Reb off of the sidelines and they're trying to replace him. So sort of like how Alabama's the Crimson Tide, but their mascot's an elephant. We'll still be
yep.
the Rebels, but our mascot will be a bear. It won't match up. So either one, I guess, doesn't bother me too much. I'm okay with my undergraduate years at Ole Miss were 2004 to 2008. They got rid of Colonel Reb in 2003. So literally, as a student, I never once went to an Ole Miss sporting event where Colonel Reb was the mascot. So for me, it doesn't so much bother me. I can understand why older people are a little bit like, you know, why'd you take my mascot away? But for me, you know, Colonel Reb never really was my mascot. I was never really a part of that. So to me, whatever, Bear, Rebel, I'm cool with it. Whatever helps us win football games, whatever that might be. But I'm certainly an Ole Miss Rebel, but if a black bear is what we need to symbolize that, then that's fine. I want to win football games, really, which we haven't been doing this season, which is why I'm not a happy person.
Yeah, that's the most – that's when it all boils down to, that's the most important thing. So
yeah.
But in any event, I didn't realize it was that long that Colonel Rev hasn't been on the sidelines. I didn't realize it's been 7 years already. So – I don't know.
Yeah, because he still has a little mascot emblem a little bit in some things. But, yeah, that is interesting.
I have merchandise. You know, I have a baseball cap with Colonel Reb on it. I've got some things with Colonel Reb on it. Actually, the rumor is, and I haven't bought anything Ole Miss related in a while, apparently now the stores are not selling anything with the Colonel Reb logo anymore.
Oh, it'll be authentic.
So,
oh, man.
So it's official. It's official. He's gone. You know, he's a relic now. Which, you know, I guess I've got my Colonel Reb stuff. I've got a shirt and a hat and things. I'm good to go there. But so long as Ole Miss wins games, football, baseball, basketball, whatever, you know, bring it on. I'm cool with any mascot change, so long as it's not embarrassing. And we'll see when they unveil the new mascot how embarrassed we are. You know.
It's gonna
just keep Colonel Reb alive, because I'm.
Well,
I'm,
at
I'm,
least y'all.
I'm,
what's that?
I'm just not all for the political correctness thing. It really aggravates me. I mean, I don't see nothing wrong with an old white guy in a Confederate uniform prancing around the sidelines, but that's just.
Well,
me.
He's still in the Grove. You know, he still hangs out in the Grove.
They
sold somebody bought the costume or whatever. And they go to the Grove. They go to the tailgates. Like I said, I still have my baseball cap with him on there. You know, he's still there. Certainly, he's not gone.
I just don't want y'all to pull in Auburn and can't decide what mascot you want to be.
They have
like four.
10 mascots. Yeah, eagles and plainsmen and tigers. Yeah, sure, they've got a lot there.
When in doubt, choose four.
Yeah.
It's easy. Well, it's easy that way.
Keep it alive. One day it maybe will come back, just like LSU's old war school, old Tiger with the sailor cap logo that I love so much. But anyway, let's move it along here. We wrap it up. Let's do some picks. And our boy from Red Cup Rebellion will stay online with us and do these real quick. And how we do this, it's just really a quick, just one or two word synopsis. We don't take the picks too seriously, as you'll find out. Pat's going to probably pick teams based on if they're playing
field
on grass or artificial turf or field turf. I'm probably going to pick winners just based on the school colors. Who knows? So.
And sad thing is, we're leading the packs.
I'm not. I'm middle of the road. So
okay.
You've had some solid weeks. So, but I'm just where I always am. I'm just a middle of the road kind of guy. So, Podcat, if you want me to read them off, I will. If you want to come and read them off,
I'll take them again this week.
All right.
Oh, look at him stepping up. That a boy, Podcat.
That a boy.
Yeesh. I am not looking forward to shaving that beard off, but whatever.
I'm looking forward to drinking a lot of Crown on Saturday.
We're going to need it.
All
right.
Break two fits.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. I hope you found the picks page, Bob. Otherwise, just follow along.
I've got the page. I've got it up right here on the laptop. I'm good to go. I'm ready for these picks.
Yeah, it's better than us, and it's not even his
That's
show.
Better than us. Shit, man.
That's what I said. He's not even his show, and he's more prepared than us.
Oh, man. All righty. First one up, Appalachia State at Florida. Florida is a 35-point favorite. I don't know about that.
We'll let Bob kick it off in every game. So you'll kick it off, and then me and Pat will go.
Sure, great. You know, the spread here is a bit absurd. You know, well, I say that as if Florida didn't put 50-something up on Vanderbilt. Yeah, you got to pick Florida to win this one. And sure, bet with the spread here. I think that's the way to go.
Florida, seeing the fact that the old ball coach put it to them, they got to do something just to save face this year, and that's the reason they're going to win by more than the spread.
Yeah, well, what's his face isn't at Appalachia State anymore. I'm sure he's probably finally graduating. Monty Edwards or whatever his name was. Yeah, I like Florida huge.
All right, next up, Arkansas at Stark Vegas. Arkansas is favored by 4 over Mississippi State.
Well, this is one, and I was saying this on our podcast. This is one of those games, for me, from an Ole Miss perspective. I watch this game, and I just wonder, can a meteor hit the field while this is being played? That would be preferable. I pick Arkansas here, even though I can't cheer for either team. But I pick Arkansas, and I think they cover the spread here. I think that if Ryan Mallett stays up and stays in this game, Arkansas wins by 10.
Yeah, I'm picking Arkansas just because, well, two reasons. One, we need them to win because we want to beat a better team, want to be like a top 10 team next week, you know, when we do play them. And then secondly is I think Mississippi State has got some distractions going on, too, with this whole Cam Newton thing. So they got some questions they have to be answering and distracting there. So
they severely disappointed me last week, and I really thought they was gonna put up more of a fight against Alabama, and they fell flat on their face, and Alabama creamed them. They looked more like the Mississippi State that we expected them all to look like, and not the Mississippi State that had lost the game since LSU beat them. So, that being said, I like Arkansas as well. They're going to Mississippi State and win this game by at least a touchdown.
All right, next up, for our boy Spike at the tailgate, who, actually, you guys didn't see it, Spike shaved his hair off this week. It was pretty funny seeing him at the tailgate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know.
What are we going to call him, bald?
I don't know. He looks pretty weird.
We can buy a can of that spray-on hair and then give him a spike like that.
There you go. Anyway, Connecticut at the Cuse, 7-3 Syracuse, who are favored by 4. In that dome up in New York.
The Carrier Dome is not an easy place to play. You know, and Syracuse, I think ever since they fired Greg Robinson, I think the program has been on the rise. Connecticut, oddly enough, was picked to win the Big East beginning of the season, and they've really disappointed. And Syracuse has kind of come out of nowhere to shock a few people. I think that continues. I think Connecticut continues to disappoint. I think Syracuse continues to surprise people. I think Syracuse wins it.
Having never been to the Carrier Dome makes me want to pick Syracuse. I don't know why, but that's just the one reason I'm picking Syracuse here, because I've never been at a Carrier Dome.
I'm just going to go ahead and make it unanimous for that very same reason, because Connecticut just has come out and just a lot of people were high on Connecticut going through the season, and they've just been on a downward spiral. I mean, pretty much the entire year, they just haven't really, you know, done anything at all, and something's going on crazy with the Cuse, and I'm going to stick with them, and they'll end up in a BCS bowl at the end of the year.
All right, next up, live from Wrigley Field, Illinois at Northwestern. And Illinois is a 7-point favorite.
You know, it's hard to pick this one. Certainly, Illinois has played a tougher schedule, and they've scored a lot of points. I watched the Illinois-Michigan game where each team scored 60-something points. Absolutely unreal. Highest scoring game in Big Ten history, believe it or not. But I'm going to go with the home team here. I'm going to go with Northwestern just because, you know, I think they're more well-coached. I think Fitzpatrick is a better coach than Zook. Therefore, I think I'm going to pick the Wildcats.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Northwestern in this game because the last time I saw them play in the rain and the crappy weather, in which we know the turf at Wrigley is probably going to be really crappy, especially playing in Chicago this time of year, Northwestern's more suited to that than Illinois is. Because doesn't Illinois play – this is my turf game, by the way. Doesn't Illinois play on, like, AstroTurf? So, therefore, that's why I'm picking Northwestern.
All right, cool. Is Harry Caray and Steve Stone calling this game on WGN?
Hey, are they going to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the end of the third quarter?
They get Ozzy to come and do it. Jeff Gordon will come out of Wrigley Stadium. I like Northwestern. I mean, Northwestern's, you know, pretty decent team, fundamentally sound, like Bob said. So I'm going to make it unanimous again and go with Northwestern to cover that 7.5. That's too many points for Illinois.
Have you seen pictures of what they've done with Wrigley for this game, by the way?
It's weird. It goes straight into, like, the third base dugout, one of the end zones.
Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. Like, I worry that somebody's going to get really hurt playing on this field, you know? I mean, like, it runs right into the wall, runs right into the dugout. I mean, Wrigley's kind of a confined kind of place, you know?
They can barely get 100 yards in there.
Yeah, I mean it's unsafe. I kind of feel for these players, and you got to think it's got to affect the coaching too. How are they going to call plays up against these end zones?
I mean, you're not running a fade into the end zone, that's for sure.
No, not at all.
Speaking of those photos, just to keep going on this for a second, I saw it and I had to do a double take because you know this time of year that ivy on the wall at Wrigley Field is dead, and I looked again. It's actually like you know gym pads on the wall there, so it can't be too thick. Somebody's going to end up getting hurt in that game, and it's going to be fun to watch.
It's going to be like arena ball.
Yeah, it'll be like arena football, certainly.
Right. And while we're on it, we don't have the other one because this is a huge mistake on my fault. But the Notre Dame Army game in Yankee Stadium, it didn't make the cut this week. So that is unfortunate. Next up, Nebraska at A&M. Nebraska is a 3-point favorite.
I think that's generous to Texas A&M. You know, Kyle Field is a hard place to play football. It is. But Nebraska is just too well coached to walk into Kyle Field and keep this one close. A&M has played well. They played well last week. They beat a very good ranked Baylor team. I know how funny that sounds, but Baylor is good this season and they played some good football. But Nebraska has just been – they had a hiccup against Texas, an inexplicable hiccup against Texas. But other than that, Nebraska has dismantled every opponent they played. I don't see that changing this weekend. I think they beat A&M. I think they beat the spread.
Yeah, I got to say, Nebraska's playing for a national picture here. So, you know, they got to do this to maintain their BCS, you know, ranking to get into that elite group. And then plus, Nebraska wants to finish out strong. They got something to prove finishing out before they hit the conference next year. So I'm going to take Nebraska, too. I think A&M, they've basically, hate to say it, shot their load already early in the season. So there you go.
Very well said. Third straight unanimous amongst all of us. I like Nebraska. I don't doubt that. I kind of feel that the A&M can keep this one close, but not 3.5 close. More like 7 to 10 close. It might even be, you know, 4 or 5. Nebraska might score a late touchdown. I like Nebraska.
Oh, this is going to be a blowout. It's going to be a 20-point win.
Yeah, whatever. You don't know crap.
All right. Next up. Ohio State at Iowa, and Ohio State is favored by 3.
Now, this is a spread that I can appreciate because this is a game that will be close. Ohio State's a great football team. I've watched a lot of Ohio State football this year. I've watched a lot of Iowa football this year, too. And Ohio State, they really like to – they play very much of a traditional pro-set offense, which is a bit ironic considering Terrell Pryor's skill set, but that's neither here nor there. Iowa, though, is also a very good football team defensively. They've had some hiccups this year, but regardless, Kinnick Stadium is a very tough place to play football, very tough place. And I think Ohio State wins this one by 3 or 4. I think it ends up being like a 27-24 type of ball game. But I'm gonna pick the Buckeyes, but the spread is not one I would bet money on.
I have to go with the Hawkeyes on this one. I mean, I think Ohio State, you know, they got a good record. They're ranked high and stuff, but they've still been inconsistent. You know, you hate to say that, but even with their record and the way it looked, but Big Ten is Big Ten. Ohio State, they always manage to lose that big game. This is their big game end of the season. Iowa needs this game to get back into that top, you know, in one of them top-type bowl games. You know, and being the Big Ten doesn't have crap beyond regular season, so to speak. I think Iowa's going to take this one, especially in a tight game. Iowa's just that type of team. They have that type of coach that's going to pound the ball, really keep it close, and they'll probably wind up winning by about a field goal in the end, some kind of chip shot where the kicker slips and it goes through the goalpost anyway.
I like how you break it down and describe how a field goal is going to be kicked, too. I mean, you go above and beyond when we're picking games.
Well, I like to give this. I
appreciate it. This is I'm right there with you. This is like a 2 or 3 point game, either way. And in this situation, I'm gonna go with the home team, not necessarily to win. I mean, I think Ohio State might kick a late field goal to win it by a point. Who knows? And just to rebut Pat, it's gonna be from the left hash mark, and it's gonna graze the upright and go in. But
right.
I'm still picking Iowa to cover.
Okay, next up to the Big 12, Oklahoma travels to Baylor and is favored by 7. Now, this I don't know. I think Baylor can suck one out here and make a real memorable season for themselves out of this.
It would take a lot. It would take a lot for them to do so, just because Oklahoma's offense is so efficient. Landry Jones knows what he's doing back there at quarterback, and Stoops always coaches his offensive players so well. I don't doubt that Baylor's capable of winning, but I wouldn't pick it. The spread, though, is an intriguing spread to pick against. But I don't know. Part of me wants to say Oklahoma by 10. But it's hard to pick this one either way. This is actually a tough pick to make considering the spread. I'd pick Oklahoma to win, but maybe not to cover the spread. I think the Sooners win it.
I pick Oklahoma in a blowout here. I mean, Baylor's another team. They've done their thing. It's like those teams. They peak way early and then they just start fading once they get that one loss in them. And they get another one. Well, this is just going to be another one of those losses. And, you know, they're going to realize that they need to go, like, to the pool and weed eater bowl or something after that. You know, that's a good season for Baylor. But they're not in that top elite tier of teams. And Oklahoma is, and that's where Oklahoma shines into the season. So Oklahoma wins by about, I'm going to say, 24 points.
That's good. I like Oklahoma, too, to cover. When did Oklahoma lose the second game? Did they lose this past weekend? I'm not up to speed on my Oklahoma football here.
They lost to Texas A&M.
Okay.
But that wasn't this weekend. Baylor lost to A&M this last weekend.
So that was a couple weeks ago.
But A&M beat them the week before. Yeah, A&M jumped up to an early lead.
Okay, all right. Well, in any event, I'm thinking Oklahoma to cover against Baylor. I was just curious when they lost the second game because I just – and it's fitting that, I guess, yeah, if it happened Alabama weekend, it's, you know, true that I missed that because I wasn't really worried about it too many other things.
I don't blame you.
We won that game. So I'll put Oklahoma to cover against Baylor.
All right, next up, out to the pack, Stanford at Cal. Stanford favored by 8.
You know, this is an underrated rivalry in college football. I have a friend that he went to high school with me who played offensive line at Stanford, and he assures me he grew up in Mississippi with me. He had a scholarship offer to play at Georgia and Ole Miss, ended up going to play at Stanford. He tells me that this is a big rivalry. We underrated out here in the South. He says it's a big one. Cal has been up and down all season. Stanford's been pretty consistent. I think Stanford has the drive to win this game. I think Cal will put up a great fight, though, considering the rivalry. The spread makes me nervous, but I think Stanford wins by 10. So I'm going to pick Stanford, and I'll pick them to cover the spread.
Yeah, I got to say Stanford, too, in this one. And simply because Cal just came off that game against Oregon where they threw everything they had at them. This is to get up for 2 weeks in a row, especially a team that's not used to it, doesn't have quite all the talent they used to have with Best and all that in the backfield anymore. So I don't think Cal can maintain it 2 weeks in a row. Stanford's just got too much, and Stanford's got the coaching. I mean, I'll say Harbaugh is a good, good coach. So
he's a great coach.
So Stanford will win this one, and they'll win it not running away, but they'll win it easily.
It's going to be interesting to see how Cal responds after that tough loss against Oregon, and like can only be described as one of the most boneheaded calls by a coach I've ever seen when he declined that penalty. I was telling Podcast about that over the phone earlier in the week. I don't know if anybody saw that, but I mean, Oregon's driving down the field. They got the ball, you know, somewhere in Oregon, in Cal territory. It's inside the 30, and it's third and five, and they get a holding call. And instead of pushing him back 10 yards and maybe getting him out of field goal range, he gives the best offense in the land another shot from third down and five. And, you know, Oregon gets it and converts and runs the clock out and wins the game. So that was a bonehead move by a guy who I thought was really a good coach a few years ago, and he's kind of taking a step back here a little bit over the last couple of seasons. But I think Cal will score some points this week against Stanford and kind of hang with them. And I think at home might cover that 8.5 or 8, whatever it is. So I'm going to go against y'all and go with Cal to cover. And Pocket.
I'm sorry.
Let me wait. All right.
I got distracted. Let me just drop this bit of breaking news on you. Hawaii's joining the Mountain West.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Outstanding. You only get it here to go show, ladies and gentlemen.
I got 15 network emails in the last 5 minutes all about this. It's ridiculous. Man, a lot of tech needs to get out of the mouth. Well, from folks and stuff, but man, LaTeX needs to get out of the whack fast.
they just need to dissolve both of those conferences, kind of consolidate the best teams from those two conferences, make a 14-team conference, and then tell the rest of them, you know what, Division II is where you ought to be, and just kick them off to it. Because both of those conferences, kind of a waste. Let's be frank about it.
Yes, without question. I think they should unseat the Big East as the other automatic qualifier.
Oh, I agree too. I mean, you look at BYU and Utah and TCU are better than half these teams in the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, back on track. Tennessee at Vandy. Vandy hadn't looked too good, but of all years for Vandy to beat Tennessee, this is probably the last chance they'll have for a while. Tennessee is favored by 10.
Yeah, you know, it's you want to pick Vandy, but you can't. Tennessee wins this, and Tennessee wins by about 20. Vandy fans, the ones that I know at least, are excited about this game. They're really looking to knock off their hated Volunteers. How hated? Let me tell you how hated. When Vandy beat Tennessee when Jay Cutler was a senior, I heard stories of grown men crying in the stands. This rivalry is a little underrated because of where Vandy stands typically, but this means something to Vandy fans. But they're not going to win this one. Tennessee wins by 20. They cover easily.
Well, Vandy can always get them in basketball. You know, that's
and
one
baseball.
Thing
Vandy's got a great baseball program.
Right. They get pitching, so yeah, they can handle with the baseball too. But Vanderbilt's a bad football team. They really are a bad football team with a bad football coach. The only thing he can do is make, you know, little quips and things like that. Yeah, God, I can't. And Dooley and them, you know, Tennessee, their first part of the schedule was tough. I mean, I'll give it to them. And they were waiting to get to this back half of the schedule just so they could kind of say, all right, we can play teams in our own basic, you know, echelon, own tier right now. So I think Tennessee's finally in their element and they're going to win this game easily. I agree with you by about 20 points.
I have no reason at all, no substantial facts to pick Vandy at all to cover the spread in this game. Both of these teams are not very good, but Tennessee is much better than Vanderbilt, and Tennessee covers.
All right, next up, Troy at South Carolina. Bit of a letdown game for South Carolina, I guess, but they're favored by 23 at home.
South Carolina wins. The spread, I don't know. You got to wonder how long they leave the first team in. I think the South Carolina defense has been fine. They've had a couple hiccups here and there, but I think the Arkansas game was their hiccup defensively. I mean, you look at what that defense did to Alabama, and it's pretty surprising, pretty stunning. You know, so I think the spread, what, 24 points, 23 points, a little tough to pick here. South Carolina certainly wins. They probably win by 20, 30 to 10, something like that.
Now I saw Troy play on, you know, one of those Tuesday night games or something earlier this year on ESPN, and God, they're horrible. Troy was just they played LSU, and they had us last year. You know, they had us. I mean, put it this way, had us. But, you know, that's not the same football team at all, not the one that played against us. They are a bad football. They should be in the SWAC, put it that way. So, no, South Carolina, there's no way they should be on the field with South Carolina. Now, if South Carolina screws the pot on this one, I'm going to be PO'd at Spurrier for not covering the spread here. But anyway, I'm picking him to cover the spread.
They got what they wanted. They're going to the SEC championship game. They can go in at 7-5 now at this point. That really matter.
You've got to pick your bowl game. When do you want to go to?
Well, it doesn't matter if they win the SEC against Auburn. He's 7-5 going to the Sugar Bowl.
It doesn't matter. They're not going to win against Auburn. I'm saying.
I don't think they will either.
So which bowl game do you want to go to? A 7-5 or an 8-4?
I think they'd rather go to 8-4 or 9-3, I would assume. But I'm gonna go with Troy to cover this spread against the Gamecocks. I really have no basis to put that on, but kind of a letdown thing. They won the SEC, they partied all week. You know, Spurrier took the whole team out. They went and played, you know, 3 rounds of golf this week. They had really private practice too much. I like Troy to cover.
All right, next up, big matchup in the ACC for what that's worth. Virginia Tech at Miami, and they are favored. Virginia Tech is favored by 2.
Virginia Tech wins this one, and they actually win it going away. Miami has been impressive the past couple weekends. They needed a kind of last-minute Hail Mary pass type thing to beat Maryland, which Maryland is actually bowl eligible, so maybe I shouldn't knock Maryland too bad, but Virginia Tech has looked good ever since those first 2 weeks of the season. They lost to James Madison, which, you know, you can't explain that, and then they won a bunch after. And I actually went to a Virginia Tech game this year. I saw Virginia Tech play Boise State, and while I was impressed with them, I actually left I frankly left impressed with Boise even more. Tech's good, and Tech's got a Tyrod Taylor, very athletic quarterback, and I think that they're gonna do what they can to win this one. I think they win by probably 10-13 points.
Yeah, I gotta say, well, Miami goes how their quarterback goes. I mean, Harris, he can play like he's on fire one game, and in the next game, he looks like Jordan Jefferson. I mean, it's crazy. That's Miami. I mean, but I'm going to throw a coin up in the air and say that he plays bad this game, and Virginia Tech's just going to stay steady. They're going to run the ball with their – is there another – they had 2 running backs, but I thought one of them got hurt during the season. I'm not sure if he's back or not, but they had, like, the thunder and lightning approach at running back. I figured they were just going to use that again. They're going to run that little wildcat option with Taylor and the whole work. So, yeah, they're quietly coming back into the scene. They're just not going to get the pub because they lost that first game of the season, and in that second game after the letdown, I call it, that's why they lost it. I think they win this one pretty easily, too. I think 7-10-point win.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you. And actually, Ja'Cory Harris is out for this game.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not playing. If I read that correctly on ESPN's Bottom Line the other morning, I'm pretty sure he is out because I think concussion symptoms, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, he's not playing, so actually, you know, with his inconsistent play, it might bode well for Miami a little bit, but still without question, Virginia Tech's going to go to Miami, and they're going to win this game by more than 2.5. So give me Vitek in a point.
All right, next up, Wisconsin at Michigan. Wisconsin is favored by 5.
To pick this one, I have to make a quick confession to everyone. Living in Washington, D.C., you know, D.C. is kind of where the North meets the South, and my girlfriend, who's a wonderful woman, she's a Michigan grad. My roommate, who's a great guy, he is an Ohio State grad. I spend a lot of time around Ohioans and Michiganders. Good folks, despite what we Southerners may think. They're great folks. But I told them before the season started, I said, you know, I know that you're a Michigan fan. I know you're an Ohio State fan, whatever. Watch out for Wisconsin this year. Wisconsin will be a good football team this year. And I told them that. And aside from a hiccup against Michigan State, which Michigan State has been very surprising, Wisconsin has really been the class act of the Big Ten as far as football goes. They beat Ohio State, for example. I think they carry that on. I think they beat Michigan, and I don't think it's close. Unfortunately, for my girlfriend's sanity this Saturday, I don't think that that Wisconsin will have a tough time beating the Wolverines. I think Wolverines lose.
All right. Well, you just tell your girlfriend that one of the boys in the Go Show has her back, because I'm going to pick Michigan in this game. And reason being is, well, two reasons. One, because now I'm going to take the back of your girlfriend and make sure that, the old Rebs lose down here, and that you get it on both ends that way. And then secondly, is because, Kerry, and you'll appreciate this one, you know the guy that sends us all our daggone potatoes and everything else in the produce department that comes in rotten all the time?
Yeah, I'm going to forget.
Okay, well, anyway, he's a big Wisconsin fan and all that stuff, so I'm going to stick it to him, and I'm picking Michigan just to go against him, and that's why Michigan is going to win.
You heard it here. Michigan covers and wins because the guy in Wisconsin.
Because of bad potatoes
at the school.
Because of mashed potatoes. If Michigan wins, I'm sending each of you a dollar by PayPal. If that's a fair wager. And I'm probably gonna buy my girlfriend a bottle of wine or something. I'm sure she'll make a wager. So
yeah,
there it is.
I'm gonna pick with my head, not my heart, on this one here. I'm gonna go in Wisconsin to win this game to cover.
They're a good football team, I'm telling you. The Badgers are a good football team, folks.
They are.
They are, but Michigan's that up and down. Michigan's a surprise. This is going to be their surprise.
Yeah. Michigan is a lot like Ole Miss in that the defense is not very good and the offense is built around a scrambling quarterback. You know, it's that's why they're schizophrenic. Just like Ole Miss is very schizophrenic on the season, Michigan is also quite a schizophrenic football team in terms of what they do. Very bipolar, you know.
All right, and last on the list is, of course, our game. Ole Miss at LSU at 2:30 on CBS. LSU is a 16-point favorite.
Well, I guess if I have to pick first, it's games like these that make me, you know, I'm not a gambler. I'm not anti-gambling. I think gambling is fun, but I'm not very good at it. So I don't participate. It's games like these that make me happy to not be a gambler. Because my heart obviously will always pick Ole Miss in this game, but my head, if I were to put any sort of cash on this one, I would certainly pick the Tigers. I think that certainly while Ole Miss plays well in Baton Rouge historically, I think for our team, the season's already awash. I think a lot of the coaches, especially our defensive coaches, have seen the writing on the wall. They know that their jobs aren't secure anymore. You know, it's hard to pick the Rebels from an objective standpoint. Certainly from a fandom standpoint, want Ole Miss to win. So to save face as the Ole Miss blogger, I say the Rebels win by a billion points. But secretly under the table, I'm betting money elsewise, if that's fair, if I can do that. If you want me to be more definitive, I will.
No, everybody else in the SEC seems to give money under the table. I mean – No, it's all good.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm an SEC LSU homer, but, you know, I'm still going to say LSU, you know, they've still got a lot. I mean, people say they don't have anything to play for and they'll never make it, but we've seen things happen. And the way our voodoo, our coach does with voodoo and everything else down there, shoot. He's got to win this game, so he's got to win it convincingly to just keep moving up the points. We want to get, you know, just to – and honestly, you almost want LSU to win big just so you can say, okay, TCU or Boise or whatever. You don't – you know, these teams are – God, they're proving themselves when it comes down to it at the end. So LSU probably winning like 36-10.
This is one of those games. I just, you know, I don't know. I've been feeling like this the whole year, and it's been working at this point. We're 9-1, so I still feel like this offense just, it's going to continue along the same track of just kind of being kind of there and not really good enough to really blow anybody out. And I'm going to go and, you know, with the same moniker that I've been going with the whole season. I think Ole Miss is going to cover just because of the history between these two teams and the fact that we don't play very good offense. We know our defense is going to be there. I still think, that being said, I don't think we score enough points to cover. So I think I'm thinking something like 24-10, something along those lines. And we all know that's going to change on Saturday morning when I make a score prediction on our Saturday show as well. So, but for purposes of this, I'm picking Ole Miss to cover, and I'm gonna stick to that for now until Saturday.
Well, that sounds good. Just remember who picked LSU to be 11-1 this year.
Wasn't me.
You're right, it wasn't me.
So you were on pace. Congratulations to you.
I get a gold star. Thank you.
I told you, I've been saying all year, I'm glad I'm wrong. It's good to be wrong when it comes to things like this. So.
Well, it's good for me to be right because I'm used to that.
All right, hothead.
Anyway.
That's enough from you. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. I'd like to thank Bob from Red Cup Rebellion for joining us tonight. Very good conversation going on tonight between all three of us. Again, if you want to come find us out there, people listen to the show, if you want to come find us on Saturday morning, we will be out there. Might be the last time we're ever out there on the parade grounds.
Yep.
Who knows?
Marvin will be cooking his fifth place gumbo.
Yeah, Marvin will be cooking his fifth place gumbo. Me and Todd's going to be eating his fifth place gumbo, and we're going to be drinking fifth of whiskey as well. So a lot of fires going around all over the place on Saturday, but we will be streaming live, weather permitting, and all that kind of good stuff on Saturday morning. So come join us on the parade grounds, front steps of the student union, about 50 yards from Holland Road, right there along the sidewalk. And until then, thanks to Bob again, thanks to Podcast, Patrick Morris, this is Gary Muntz, this is The Ghost Show, your original LSU podcast. We are done. Go Tigers.
He's got a lot of backing and we know it's true. Another crowd from LSU. Billy Cannon. Oh, Billy Cannon. Oh, look out. There goes the Billy Cannon. Like a tiger, he's a running like a light. He's got the ball and he's got it out of sight. Billy Cannon. Oh, Billy Cannon. Oh, look out. Oh, there he goes. Oh, Billy Cannon. Oh, look out. There he goes. Oh, Billy Cannon. Oh, look out. There he goes. Oh, Billy Cannon. Oh, look out. There he goes. Billy Cannon.